for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, July the 11th, 1993. Final service of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
The word of the Lord. We are made overcomers by the word of the Lord. We are able to stand. He reigns
bow.
Amen.
Father, we are privileged to come before your throne this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this week of meetings, Lord, that has filled us with the joy of the Lord and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to fellowship together, Lord, for the bonds that have been formed in your family, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask for those that have left already, Father, that you give them safe journey mercies.
Father,
carry them back, Father, to their homes. Father, that the seed that you have planted within them, Father, will grow and that it will blossom and flourish in that area of their home, Lord Jesus. And that, Father, a new lighthouse will have been constructed, Father, in their life to lead others to you.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just ask that you bless the meeting this morning, Father.
Yes, Father.
Bless the speaker, Lord Jesus. Anoint him, Father, that your word would flow through him to the meeting of our spiritual hunger in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray for our president and the country,
yes,
Lord Jesus.
Lord.
Those in authority over us, Lord,
yes,
God, that
Father.
You have placed there. Father, we ask that you would bring conviction upon their hearts, Lord God, and place within them, Father, the knowledge of the truth, Lord, that, Father, the things that come to pass in the next year and the next years, Lord Jesus, will be
yes,
what you
Lord.
Have assigned for this country, Lord God. Father, we ask for revival, Lord Jesus, in
yes,
your church.
Lord.
We ask for renewal, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask that sin will be exposed, Lord God,
yes,
both
Father.
In the highest places and in the lowest places, Father. And Lord, that you will bring this country to repentance. Father, that you will reestablish, Father, your name in the land, Lord God. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit, Father, upon your people and upon your children and upon a generation of children, Father, that seem to have been lost. Father, we just ask that you'd restore them to you, Lord. Restore the knowledge of the truth, Lord God. Father, we just ask all of these things in the name of Jesus this morning, our Lord and our King. Lord, we look for the day when we can stand in your presence as you've returned to your kingdom, Lord God, and established it and sit upon your throne. Father, we look to see you in your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, we're down to the last service, the last offering, the last teaching, until next camp meeting. And as many camp meetings as we've had, it's always hard for the last service to see everybody going and everybody say goodbye. And you'd think pretty soon that wouldn't bother you, but it does. What have we been here? 18, 19 years. How many 100 camp meetings have we had? Well, we've had well over 100, and yet everyone is different, and everyone is new, and there's something that I learn from every camp meeting. And from every teaching, I learn something to add that I try to store so I can recall it. Sometimes I don't always manage to do that, so I try to mark my Bible so when I go through studying and looking, all of a sudden there's that jumps out at me, and then I can remember it and use it. And so I count a privilege for all the ministries that come. You know, Bill, you pray and sing and all that, but we really have never heard you. Oh, you preach a little all the time, but you never have really. We ought to have you have one of the services one day. Right. Now, we had a testimony out of you one time, or two of you, and I thought that was just glorious, that testimony. And I think that it ought to be publicized more than it was. But we need one of these days for you to have one of the services. Amen. I thought about that a couple of camp meetings ago. And then, amen. Well, those of you who are going to have lunch with us, why, Ron has got some lunch prepared. I suppose there'll be 15 to 25 of us at the most. But praise the Lord for all of you that are here. Now, I'm not going, we'll open the building tonight, but I think Irma and I will go to bed this evening. If anybody, any of the rest of you want to come and pray, well, you're welcome. We always do on Sunday night. Come and pray from 7 until 8:30, sometimes 9 o'clock. So if any of you here want to do that, why, or any of you that live here want to come, why, come and do that. But I think I'll excuse Irma and me tonight. Okay. All right. And we pray the anointing of the Lord and the protection over you, as Brother Beckley already has, to all who have traveled and who will yet travel today by car and by plane. And the blessing of the Lord. I am so amazed at the young lady that sat here that I took this morning early to the meter plane. What a change has in that girl since she came here. I'm just glad that I encouraged her to come, and that I happened to think when she was on the line that there was a fair cut still the day that I was talking to her, and she was able to get the fare to come, because they give her a fare $600 and some, $630 or $640, and she said, I just can't afford that. And I said, well, they've got one for $319. She said, well, they didn't. I said, you call the airline and tell them you want that $319 fare. So she called them right back and called me back in a few minutes and said, I got it. So she came from San Francisco, is where she came from, in that area. Bless her, Lord, bless her. I don't know how she ever heard of us. I didn't think to ask her. I don't know how she ever had reason to call us. But the Lord knew that she needed the help that she got this week. Amen. Well, I talked to her four different times before she finally had her ticket to come. Well, we bless her. And we bless all the rest of you. Bless all you that have worked hard to take care of everything here this week. I know that Ron and Hilda and Ray and some of the rest of you are kind of tired and weary. Of course, it don't bother me and Bill and Irma and Rose. I wish it didn't, but it does. And thank Gene for being faithful here with the viewer. She's got so where she can find some of those without even looking for them. You know what? There's about 400 courses there. And I was thinking one time what would happen if we just started from course one and started singing through until we had sang all of them once again. Every course in there, plus a few that aren't there. Now, like we sang one I thought was there yet last night, but she says it isn't. We sing it quite often, but there's almost 400 courses there that have been sang here in one camp meeting or another over the years. And that's how come they're there. And what a blessing they all are. There's a, let me see, I'm a tree, a green tree, an olive tree, I'm a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. Lots of them. Amen. Well, it's offering time, ushers, for our last offering and financial help at this time for the campground, and we appreciate it and thank you for it. Phil, come and bless our final offering today. Phil, we first met Phil unbeknownst in Denver, Colorado at a full gospel convention many, many, many years ago. And then through circumstances, he started coming here and has eventually, we don't know, we feel we're lost if he doesn't show up to help play the piano part of the time, and also Bernadine to come and play, and Ray, who's faithful on the organ. We bless him and bless him and bless him. And all the rest of you musicians, I hope you boys learn to play the trumpets. I hope you learn to play the trumpets. We need some trumpets. Amen, amen. To 120 trumpets in the house of the Lord. What a day that would be to have 1,000 singers to sing and 120 trumpets to play, and a score of violins and all the rest of it. Oh, what a joy that would be. One day we're going to see it. We're going to see it. Amen. Well, Phil, bless our finances that we've received and will receive today.
Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for your blessings to us. We thank you for the blessings of this camp meeting and for the how you've ministered to each one of us in so many different ways. And Lord, as we return back to you a portion of that which you've given us, Lord, I pray that it would be a mighty blessing for the campground and for the furtherance of your work. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one as they go, and Lord, that their every need would be supplied according to your riches and glory. We just give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, we're going to look at what the Lord desires of us, what he's trying and hoping that we will desire to become. I trust you know what that is, an overcomer. An overcomer. So, we're going to study that for a while today and see if we can qualify. I trust you can. I trust you desire to be. I trust that's what your desire in life is to be an overcomer. That's my desire. And as we'll look in the Word today and see what the Lord has to say about those who desire to be overcomers, of which he would like for all of us to be. All of us to be. So we'll turn over to Jeremiah chapter 5, and we will begin there in the 5th chapter of Jeremiah. And it says here in verse 1 of Jeremiah, it says, "Run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. And if there be any that executeth judgment and seeketh the truth,
hallelujah,
and I will pardon it." So God says that he's looking for a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who desires to execute righteousness and judgment in the land. And the Lord says if he can find somebody, he will pardon the nation or pardon that which is not truth. In Ezekiel chapter 22, over in Ezekiel, the next book, chapter 22, verse 23, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her," that's Israel, or to us, that's the church today, "Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravaging the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like the wolves ravaging the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Notice twice already it's to destroy souls and to shed innocent blood, and not to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, and to profane my and violate my laws. Her princes in the midst thereof are like the wolves ravaging the prey, to shed innocent blood and destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies, witchcraft, unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I wonder today, as the Lord is looking for His people to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, I wonder if He's able to find you. Has He been able to find you to stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Or does He still say, I can't find anybody? I trust that I'm one, that you're one, who's going to stand and who is standing in the gap and making up the hedge, so that the Lord will find somebody that's faithful. In the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, just flip over there about 8-10 pages. In Ezekiel 33, it says, Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come up and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So, when we hear the word of the Lord and we pay no heed to it, and then things come and judgment comes and we have trials and tribulations, we have allowed it to come up on our own head because we've taken no heed to the word of the Lord. And so our blood is upon our own head if it comes to that. And he goes on to say in verse 11, Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Verse 25 says, Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, You eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes towards your idols, and shed blood, and shall you possess the land? The answer is no, you will not possess the land, for God's judgment will come upon you. And verse 30 says, Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls, and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. You notice? They say, Come and hear what word's coming from the Lord. And thy people come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Same is true today. We read the Bible, you study it, you find something you don't like, and you say, That's not for me. We won't hear it. For with their mouth they show forth much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. I think we live in that very day. I think today he's describing the very hour that we live in here in this 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Now let's go back. We're using Ezekiel quite a bit here today. So let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 9 and see what the Lord says He's looking for here in the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. Says, the Lord, He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city or the church to draw near every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came. We've always heard about the number six. Well, here we are. From the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood before the brazen altar. Brazen altar is the place of God's judgment. They went and stood at that place. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the church, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, the women, the boys, and the girls, that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, through the church, and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maid and little children and women, but come not near any man, woman, boy, or girl, upon whom is the mark. You know, tradition has taught us to beware and not take the mark of the beast. 666. Well, here are those who are bringing the judgment of those who have the mark of the beast. These six men are bringing that judgment of the 666. But to those who have the mark of God, who have been marked by this man with the writer's inkhorn clothed in linen, they have no fear of the mark of the beast. For the mark of the beast, they have a mark that supersedes the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
So what we need to understand is that we are not to have a fear of the mark of the beast. We're to have a fear of God and a fear that we do not have His mark in our forehead. We need to be intercessors. We need to sigh and cry for the abominations that's in the household of faith so that we will be sealed with that mark. We need to become intercessors. If you're not an intercessor, you need to lay it on your heart to become an intercessor for the abominations that's not only in this land, but in the nations of the earth. For God's purpose is that the nations of the earth shall become that Jesus shall become king of not only this nation but the nations of the earth. He's to become king of.
Amen.
You know, it amazes me that bound up in this one little book, and it's a little book compared to the books that are in the earth, that in this book is life and death, is the beginning and the end. Is the cosmos of the universe. It's all here. And anything man writes, anything man studies or understands, he could not understand it. He could not have any knowledge of it without the knowledge of this book. Now, he may find it and not have any knowledge of this book, but the knowledge of it came from here before he came to any understanding of it. It was bound up in this. It's the word of the Lord. The sword of the Lord is bound up here. So, we need to desire and seek after to be an intercessor. And then as we become intercessors for the abominations that's in the land, and the Lord uses us in behalf of the missionaries that are on the foreign fields or those that are in other areas, as we pray and intercede and cry and sigh in sighings that cannot be uttered, as Paul said that he cried out with utterings that could not be uttered. As we do that and lay before the Lord in intercession, the Lord hears and answers and brings deliverance to those that we'll never know of.
Yes.
As we are intercessors, but most of all, we bring the deliverance to the household of faith and stay the hand of God's judgment against God's people, which must come except they repent. And as we're intercessors to cause them to be convicted, first the household of faith, that is first, and then comes the rest of creation. As we are intercessors, therefore, let's read on here and see what happened as we go on. And he says, to slay utterly old and young, both maid and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is my mark. And he says, begin at my sanctuary.
Yes.
Begin at the household of the Lord. To start there. Don't start out here with the heathen and the unsaved. Start with the with the priest of the household of the Lord. Start there. With the ancient men. Then they begin at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, and go forth. And they went forth, and they slew in the church. You say that's awesome. But God says his judgment is going to be come first to the household of faith, and then from there it will go forth to the rest of the world. And it has started. His judgment is in the land. It has started. And it will increase. But I don't want to be part of the judgment. I want to be part of the cure and not part of the cause. And that's what he's called us to be. To be part, to be the intercessor. And it goes, and it says, and it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, oh, Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem or the church? And then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness, for they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their own head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So what is written here and what is prophesied here will come to pass. It will happen. Because he says, I have completed the assignment. It's done. And I want to believe and trust that I'm one that has been sealed or will be sealed with that seal in my forehead. So that when the day of judgment comes in the land, if any of you have ever read Annie's visions, the little cubulos that are everywhere with little light shining through the little round domes where that were covered. When darkness covered the earth, there was light in these little areas. And when the storm was over, they were protected and there was no harm. And destruction was everywhere except where these little places were like domes that the storm had passed over. I want to be one that the Lord, His hand of protection is over us. As the storms increase and as the storms pass over the nation and over the nations, that God's protection will be over us and we'll be protected. You know, it says here that that the Lord will recompense their way upon their heads. And in the last few years, we've heard a teaching in the land. It has a truth, but it has been taken way to the extreme that God is love. God is love. God is love. And they forget that God also, that same God of love is an equal God of judgment. And that there's no difference between God's love and God's judgment. They are exactly perfectly equal. We have the Supreme Court, they have a scale out there, you know, that shows a balance, a scale. Well, that scale weighs God's judgment and God's love exactly, perfectly, perfectly the same. There's no difference. So when you come and say God is love, you also must say God is judgment. He is both. Both. And both are the love of God. We're going to get to another thought and place back in Revelations here, but this ninth verse says, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. Evidently, there's a difference between Judah the Jew and Israel. And we'll look at that a little more this morning when we get back to the book of Revelation, where we are going to in a few minutes. Here in Ezekiel 9, we find that there are people in the land who God has sealed with His seal, and His protection is about them. And they are the people who sigh and cry for the abominations. And who are these people? They are the overcomers of the book of Revelations. Let's turn to Isaiah 41. And Verse 15 in Isaiah 41 says, "Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them with the wind, and shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And they shall rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel." Who's going to do this? The household of faith. The overcomer, the people of the Lord, are those who God is using as a threshing instrument having teeth, and that shall thresh and bring judgment on the land under the jurisdiction of the Lord Jesus. I do not believe that angels are going to do the work. I believe that angels are to assist us in helping us, but I believe that the household of faith are those who will deal out and bring and administer the judgment of God in the earth. I think that they are those who will bring the judgment upon the earth under the supervision of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. Okay, let's go back to the book of Revelations and chapter 7. And here in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations, we find a repeat, not exactly the same, but similar to what we read in Ezekiel 9. And again it says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any of the trees. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." There we are. They're sealed. Evidently, the four winds of the earth, or these four angels that are holding back these four winds of the earth, that which will bring judgment upon the earth, when that's turned loose, there will be judgment across the whole earth, the judgment of God will fall on the land and on the sea and on the trees and on the green grass and on the people. And in another place, it tells us that a third of the fish of the sea will die, and a third of the trees will die, and a third of the people. Well, I believe personally that judgment has already been partially loosened upon the earth. The fish of the sea, there are areas where all the fish are dead. They're dead. There are areas on the coast where you can't eat the fish. And if you do eat them, you'll get poisoned. There are areas where there are thousands and thousands of trees that are dying in certain areas. And then in other places, mankind is removing the trees. They're taking them away. And we have plagues in the land that are killing the people. The plague of AIDS that's in the land. In the next 10 years, it may wipe out millions of people. And then other plagues that are in the land as well. So I think that some of that is already turned loose, and we're beginning to see it in the land. Now, whether that is it or not, I don't know. But that's my impression and feeling. But I think we'll be around long enough to find out. I believe so. I think so. Well, anyway, it goes on to say here that they're going to seal 144,000 of the tribes of Israel. And it says of the tribe of Judah. Well, I've heard it taught that 144,000 were all the Jews. But it only says there's 12,000 of them here. And it goes on to say there's Reuben and Gad and Naphtali and Manasseh and Simeon and Levi and Issachar and Zebulun and Joseph and Benjamin. And all of those. So if all of those are Joseph can't be Judah, so the 144,000 can't all be Jews. So we need to rightly divide the word of truth and study and listen to what tradition has told us, and then look in the scripture and see if it be so or not, or if we're just a mimicking or following after something that somebody else has taught us and we haven't studied it for ourselves. Another thing, they say there's 12 tribes of Israel. Did we count them here? Judah's 1, Reuben's 2, Gad's 3, Asher's 4, Naphtali is 5, Manasseh is 6, Simeon is 7, Levi is 8, Issachar is 9, Zebulun is 10, Joseph is 11, Benjamin is 12. Oh, something's wrong. What happened to Dan? There's 13 tribes, not 12. 13 colonies. Well, that's another subject. But we need to learn to rightly divide the word, and not, if somebody teaches you something, we've all got a question. It's been taught there's 12 tribes. I just named 13. Right here, right before you, I named 13. So, if somebody tells you there's only 12, you can say, no, I can show you in the Scripture there's 13. And there are. Anyway, that's not our subject. But I believe that this 144,000, and I believe it's a company of 144,000, I don't necessarily believe that there is just 12,000. I believe that it can be 144,000. Just as there's 10,000 by 10,000 of the saints that will come with the Lord when He returns. The number without multitude. And I believe that this 144,000 here are thousands that are sealed, and that they are the overcomers. They might be, you might call them the Eagle Companies, or the Elijah Company. the sons of, definitely they are the sons of God. That is without question. But I believe that they are out of the churches of all ages. I believe that they come out of the churches of all ages. And then that we are a part of that group as we come down to this hour and this age of today that we live in. And that we will also be accounted a part of that, of the church of today. For out of the church of today, out of every denomination, out of every tribe and tongue, shall come those who will testify that Jesus is Lord. He says, out of every tribe and out of every tongue, there will be those that will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. There's some other things that I think about this, about these situations here, but that's another subject, and that's not part of what we're talking today. But we're looking at those that God says he's looking for to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. That he's looking for. The overcomers, those who desire to serve the Lord, regardless of what the circumstances are, they determine in their heart, I will serve the Lord. No matter if it costs you your life, and you can't get any worse than that, in between costing you your life and whatever else there is, there's nothing that can keep you from serving the Lord. I will serve the Lord. I have to make that determination. I have to declare that. You have to make that determination. You individually have to declare that I will serve the Lord. You can, as David of old said, I will praise the Lord. We today must declare that I will praise the Lord. I must declare that. And then we as a group, as a church together, we will praise the Lord collectively. But individually, first of all, we have to decide that no matter what comes, no matter what transpires in life, I will praise the Lord. I will serve the Lord. And there's nothing that can happen to us past martyrdom. And there have been thousands and thousands that have gone before us that have gone by the way of the martyr. And who are we that we should expect to be any better? Are we better than they? No, we're not. Well, let's look at these overcomers. Chapter 2 of Revelations. Let's see what God promises to the overcomers. These that have come out of every church age and then come out of the church age of today that we live in and are bound together collectively. And I believe that these promises are to everyone who is an overcomer. Now, all these promises belong to the overcomer. So in Revelations chapter 2 and verse 7, we find the first promise to the overcomers. And there are 8 promises here in the book of Revelations to the overcomers. There are 8 of them. And as we go down through them, why, each one increases in its magnitude and in its blessing as we go. And each one... Now, as we've been here this week, Tommy and Chuck and others have used some of these verses of the overcomers in their teachings. They've not used all of them, but they have used 1 or 2 or 3 out of them.
But this morning we're going to look at all of the promises to the overcomers. And each one of these could be taken and broken down and be an entire teaching, each one, because it relates to a specific part of the church. So in verse 7 it says, "To he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith, where unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, that tree of life is Jesus, and that paradise of God is the kingdom. For Jesus said, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, in this earth, then as it is in heaven." So, this tree of life is that tree which Adam had a right to, and he did not, he ate the wrong tree. He did not eat of the tree of life, as he could have done. And God didn't tell him, told him it was there, but he took of the wrong tree. But now here we are given this tree of life, and it's in the midst of the paradise of the kingdom of God, and Jesus is that tree of life. Number 2 is in verse 11. "And he that overcometh shall not be hurt in the second death." So that guarantees eternity resurrection. Here, the second death will not be hurt in it, so that guarantees a resurrection and eternity here. Then, number 3, it says, "To him that overcometh," it's verse 17, "to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it." The children of Israel had manna for 40 years. Now here is manna, which it was an example of. Now here is hidden manna that the Lord says he'll give to us, which will be sustain us and will bring life eternal. And he's going to give us a new name and a white stone. A white stone stands for purity. He's going to give us a new name. Then, to the overcomer, number 4 is in verse 26. We find to the overcomer. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Now, we've been taught that everything is by grace, and that is true to a degree. Salvation is by grace. Healing comes by grace. The Holy Spirit comes by grace. But after that, we are required to do something. You can't just sit on your bottom and expect to be an overcomer. God expects you, as the servant who took that the Lord gave the talents to, they went out and did something with the talents that was given to them. They had something to bring back, except the man who didn't, and he, what happened to him, he got it taken away from him and was cast out. So the Lord requires us, after grace is over, then we come to a place where he requires us to labor for him and to work for him. And then to those who do that, he's going to give you power over the nations. What does it say? "Shall rule the nations with a rod of iron." Who's going to rule them? You and I are going to rule them under the Lord Jesus. We're going to be the ones who rule the nations with the rod of iron. And that's what it says. He'll give us power to rule over the nations, to the overcomers. Now, tradition has told us that everybody's going to rule and reign with Jesus. That is not so. That is error. That's tradition. You have salvation. You're saved. You have salvation. But unless you do more than just sit on your rear end with salvation, you're never going to reign and rule with the Lord Jesus. If you want to reign and rule with Jesus, then you're going to have to be a worker and a laborer in the vineyard, and you're going to have to labor for the Lord and be an intercessor and cry out against the abominations that's in the church. And then you will begin to have a right to be an overcomer and to receive these blessings that the Lord says he will give to the overcomers. That was number 4. Number 5 is over in chapter 3, and it's verse 5. It says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment," holiness, purity. "He shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." But there's something in that verse right there that contradicts a teaching that is in the land that says that that you can't lose your salvation.
Right.
Right there it says that, let's see, what's that called? Eternal security. The Baptists teach eternal security. That verse right there, and there's others, but that verse right there plainly states that you can lose your salvation. Because if your name was once in the book of life, and it could be blotted out, then you could lose your salvation. But according to eternal security, it can never be blotted out. So if it can't be, then this verse should not be here. Because this verse, either the Bible is right or it's wrong. And if the Bible's right, then eternal security is wrong. So we need to be careful that we do not lose our salvation, but that we walk before the Lord in holiness and purity, being good repenters.
Amen.
The Scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, be good repenters, so that you're assured the fact that your name will never be blotted out. The Lord says He's married to the backslider. So, the Lord wants us to return unto Him. He says He's called us to return. Okay, number 6 is in verse 12. And it says, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. So the Lord says that He's going to give us a new name. I have no idea what or why He would give us a new name, but He says He's going to, so He will. But there's something else in that verse there to the overcomer. It says that there's a temple coming down from God, and we read that we're living stones, and that we're the temple of the Lord. And therefore, evidently, this temple coming down is a temple made up of the saints of the Lord. We're the living stones. We're that living temple. But it says to the overcomer, they're going to be the pillar that holds that temple together. You're not just a stone someplace in the temple. You're a pillar in the temple that holds that temple together. You're the structure of it. You're the strength of it.
Amen.
So the Lord says we're going to be a pillar in His temple if we are an overcomer. Now, to those who just have salvation and are satisfied with that, they will never be a pillar in this temple. Oh, there'll be a stone somewhere in the wall or in the floor, someplace in the structure or in the foundation. I don't even think they'd be in the foundation. I think the foundation will be stronger than just somebody who's just satisfied with salvation. But anyway, the Lord says that in this temple, this living temple, that we will be a pillar to hold the structure together. So the promises are many to he who is an overcomer. And we are an overcomer by being an intercessor and sighing and crying for the abominations that's in the church today. And holding up those who are laboring in the kingdom for the Lord. Number 7 is in verse 21. Number 7 it says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now back over here in number 4, was it? Or number 5? Number 4, he said we're going to rule over the nations. Here in number 7, he says we're going to sit with him at his throne. Well, I don't know what there could be greater than to rule over the nations for the Lord. And then to sit in the throne. Throneship means that you have complete rulership. You have a throneship. It gives you the same authority. You're sitting in the throne to rule and reign with the Lord. You have the authority of the Lord Jesus in you and to rule and to reign. And I don't know what could be greater than to be granted to sit with the Lord in His throne and to rule with Him. But there is one that is greater. Number 8. There are 8 of these. And in chapter 21 of Revelations, we will find the 8th promise to the overcomer. And this promise supersedes and exceeds any and all of those that we have already read, regardless of how great they have been to rule and reign with the Lord, to sit in the throne with the Lord Jesus. This 8th promise exceeds all of the previous. And in chapter 21, and in verse 7, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. We will inherit all things just as Jesus has gone back to the Father and has been given the inheritance of all things. We also will be given an inheritance with the Lord Jesus to inherit all things. And then he says, and I will be his God. Well, he's promised us to be his God. That is glorious and wonderful. But the rest of the verse says, and he, you, I, shall be his son, his daughter. That we will be called the sons and the daughters of God. Exceeding all the previous promises, we will be called a son of God. Talk about sonship. Talk about the manifestation of the sons of God. The Bible plainly teaches that that is a truth. Now, it has been taken and warped by some saying that they're manifested sons of God, and that when they are, they'll walk down the street and their shadow, just as Peter's, will heal the sick and they'll rise and walk. I haven't seen that yet, but it's going to happen. It's coming, and I want to be part of it. But to imagine, to the overcomer, we are given not only the right to rule and to reign with the Lord Jesus and to inherit all things, but we are called a son of God, a daughter of God. And that exceeds anything that we can imagine, anything that our finite minds can try to dream of. That exceeds anything that we can think of. What God has created this universe for, we cannot fathom or imagine what God has created it for. But he didn't create it just to put it out there. It's out there. God has a purpose for that universe. And I expect after the kingdom age, in the millennium, I expect to travel the universe. I expect to see the farthest ends of it.
Yes.
I expect maybe there's a galaxy out there that God created just for me to rule over. Possible. There may be a galaxy out there that God created just for you or for me.
Amen.
To rule over for him. We cannot fathom, we cannot imagine, in our wildest imagination, what God has prepared for those who love him. Salvation is beyond our imagination. The blood of the Lord Jesus, that he would come and give his life, that I might be saved, that you might be saved. And then, that is glorious beyond what we can describe. But then as we look into the Word and find what is yet to be is beyond anything that we can fathom in our wildest dreams of what God has prepared for those who love him.
Hallelujah.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Yes.
I love that course.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I love that course.
Hallelujah.
Oh, how I love him who first loved me.
Yes.
And gave his life that I might be called a son of God. Lord, help me to be faithful. Help you to be faithful. Help us to be faithful to the calling that he's given unto us. That he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to thy rest. We cannot imagine. They talk about streets of gold and mansions and that's tommy rot. That's nothing to what God has really prepared for us. What he's prepared for us is beyond anything like that.
Amen.
Gold has no value in the kingdom of God. It's just another substance. Imagine a pearl big enough to make a gate out of, like for chariots to go through, and for a group of soldiers, 12 abreast to walk through. Soldiers of the Lord. A pearl. Where did he get it? What oyster made that? He didn't need an oyster. He said, let it be. And it was. And it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the kingdom of God and the reality of it. Help us to dwell upon the reality of the kingdom of God. For Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus brought the kingdom into being when he was here. And since that time, the kingdom has been in existence and it's growing and growing and multiplying. But the day of the literal kingdom of the living God is upon us and is at hand. And I believe that most of us here, if not all of us, will live to to walk into that kingdom, as Jack says, walk into life. Or walk into the resurrection is for those who are dead, so they'll walk into resurrection, but we'll walk into life, into the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. Into that time when the Lord returns and we shall be translated in a moment, in an instant of time, and we shall be as he is.
Yes.
That's walking into life.
Yes.
That's the hour and the day that's upon us. The kingdoms of this world shall become an hour. The kingdoms of our God and his Christ.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, who are we? The sons of God, the overcomers, those who stand in the gap and make up the head.
Yes.
Jeremiah 51. On page 752 is Jeremiah 51. And here, Jeremiah tells us who the Lord says we are in verse 20. In Isaiah 51 and 20, the Lord says, "Thou art my battle axe, O Israel, and weapon of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider." Who are we? We're the battle axe of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Keep your blade sharp. Keep the blade sharp so that you can cut and do that which is necessary. To be the servant of the Lord, to walking in his presence. That's who we are. We're the battle axe of the Lord. We're the overcomers. We're the intercessors. And one day we'll be that eagle company that soars in the heavenlies,
yes,
bringing in the kingdom of the living God when Jesus returns. Okay, let's go over to Psalms 149. Psalms 149. And it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints." Well, we've been doing that all week. We've been singing unto the Lord. We've been praising. I've been praising. Hallelujah. You've been praising. We've been praising. We've been singing a song of praise unto the Lord in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him. Who is our Maker, and Jesus is his name. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a tremble in the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron." Hallelujah. "To execute judgment upon the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. It's an honor to be a soldier of the King, and to praise the Lord. He says to execute his judgment, and to bind the kings with chains and the nobles with fetters of iron, to pull down the principalities and the powers of satanic dominion and break the fetters of it from off the people and set the captives free. Hallelujah. That's what he's called us to do, to be deliverers in Zion and to loose the captives. Hallelujah. Well, we will close. Revelations chapter 22. Manifestation of the sons of God in the earth. Chapter 22, the end of the book. And if people try to tell me that this is two books, all you got to read is read what I'm going to read here, and you'll find it's all one book. It says, verse 10 we'll start. "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still." I want to be righteous. I want to be more righteous. "And he that is holy, and I want to be holy, let him be holy still." I used to think when I read that, where Jesus said, there's four times in the Scripture where it says, be ye holy. The thought used to go through my mind when I would read that. That's nice, but there's nobody that can do that. The Lord knows that. I wonder why He put that in there. But I've come to the conclusion that He didn't just put it in there. He meant for us to be holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, we have to work at it. It's a labor. We have to desire, but we are to desire to be holy. And so it says, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. There, we're back to works again. The Lord says, according to your works. So you better be laboring in the kingdom. You better be a testimony. You better be a witness. You better be a light. You don't have to be obnoxious. You just have to be. Oh, I'll tell you, Fern knows, down at the auto parts store. I've been going there ever since we've been here. Lee Barron took me down there and introduced me when we first came. And they set us up down there just the same as any garage in town. We're considered just as if we were one of the garages in town. To anything we buy or need down there. And he set us up with an account. And we have never allowed, to my knowledge, that account to go past. We get a discount up on top of our discount if we pay our bill on the 10th or by the 10th of the month. I do not believe that we have ever missed paying that account by the 10th of the month. And I don't think they've got very many accounts that they'll find in their records. But God has given us favor.
Yes.
And I have never been, but if something comes up or something is said or something, well, I'll say, the Lord this or the Lord that, or I'll say, well, praise the Lord, or just something like that. And I don't do it to be doing it. It just comes out of me. Comes out of me. And I never said anything. I haven't said anything to a lot of people. And I really don't care for the term, personally. But they'll say, well, sometimes somebody will say, well, here's the Reverend. I really don't care for that phrase. And I have, but anyway, that's so. One of the men down there had a serious problem here, what, a year ago, less? 8 months ago?
November.
Ray, when he had a stroke, he's 43 years old, something like that, had a stroke. Immediately, they called him. And Fern. They called Fern. And I went immediately to the hospital to pray for him. And why did they call here? The Spirit of the Lord had them call.
Yes.
And the Lord is wonderfully restoring him and returning him. And then here, not very long ago, one of the other girls, one of the wives of one of the men, called me. She wanted to talk. She called, wanted me, and she said, I have a problem. And she said, we're Baptist. I said, oh, yes. She said, but I'd like for you to pray for him. I said, well, it don't make any difference whether you're Baptist or whatever. I said, that doesn't matter to the Lord. And then she told me what her problem was. And so I prayed for her on the phone. She called me back in a couple of days to tell me that there was no problem. She had to go to the doctor to get an examination. And when they examined her, they found that there wasn't the problem that they thought it was going to be, and she called me to thank me. Well, the Lord takes care of those things. You know, we are to be. Just be. There are some people who think they have to tell everybody that if they're not saved, they're going to hell. You know, a lot of those people will never get saved because of that kind of a testimony. The testimony that will save them will be your life. You be the light. And then, as God gives the opportunity, you can talk to them and tell them and lead them to the Lord. But most of the time, very seldom, can you walk up to somebody cold and start and get them to accept the Lord. It happens once in a while, but if God lays on your heart to go talk to somebody, then that's God, and He'll take care of it. But if you're just walking down the street and stop somebody just random on the street, the Lord has to be in it, or you wasted your time and maybe you've hurt that person. So Lord, give you wisdom. We are to be more than we're to say when the opportunity comes, but there's a lot of times that we say when we shouldn't say. Well, it says, according to our works, it shall be. And then he says, I am Alpha and Omega. I was before it was, and I will be when it's all over. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I enjoyed listening to Chuck teach about the beginning. I had never heard it just like he taught about how he explained the meanings, the root meanings of words about the beginning, before creation was. And I had never heard it like that before. And it really was, I appreciated it. But we know that Jesus is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then he says, blessed are they, are we, that do my commandments. So he says here in the end that we're required to do his commandments. And his commandments are not what we want to take out of them or what we want to take, but they are the book. This is the commandments of God. This is his word. And we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And this is the words that have proceeded out of his mouth. It isn't Moses. God said, Moses, you go tell the people my words. And when I've heard being say, oh, that's Moses' law. No, that's God's word. He told Moses to be the mouthpiece for it, and we are to listen to it. Well, I trust that you desire to be an overcomer, to make that you have determined and are determining to make that your goal in life, to be the overcomer that God wants you to be and that you can be and will be if you walk before him, hiding his word in your heart that we sin not against him, be quick to repent and to be intercessors for the body of Christ. The Lord today needs and is looking for intercessors who will cry out for the abominations that's in the household of faith. And if you stay in our place and have camp meetings like this, you learn of the great abominations that are in the household of faith. They ought not to be so, but they are. And Lord, put a repentant heart and a hunger in the hearts of all to be set free from the things that bind them, the chains that bind, that they can be broken, and the power of Satan can be taken off of them, and we can walk together in the love of the Lord, declaring and making Jesus truly Lord of our life. Let's stand. Bill, you want to sing that chorus, that Overcomer? Yes. Amen. And then we'll dismiss in prayer.
I have something written in my Bible that's been there for quite a while about an overcomer. When you overcome your mental attitude, your emotional yearning, your self-will, and your human desires through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you have just begun to become an overcomer. When you have overcome your mental attitude, your emotional yearning, your self-will, and your human desires through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you can become an overcomer. But we have to go through all that.
Praise the Lord. Come on, young people. My singers.
Lord, bless them. Make them pillars in the house of the Lord. Amen. Put that desire in them to be.
By the word of the Lord, we are made overcomers. By the words of the Lord, we are able to stand. He reigns forever.
know, I appreciate these young people. And I have a word I want to say to all of us. I appreciate them coming dressed like gentlemen and ladies. Through the week on camp meeting days, that's different. But when we come on Sunday, if a pair of ragged overalls is all you've got, then that's your best. And the Lord understands that. But when we come, especially like on Sunday or to a special service, I believe the Lord is pleased if we come dressed for the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And oh, you all look so sharp. Sharp, that's a good word. Amen. It may be a word of the day, but it still fits the purpose.
Amen.
And the Lord bless you. Amen. Father, I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful time we've had this week together praising the Lord, making Him Lord of our lives, and coming to a place where we can become and be those intercessors that you're looking for. Father, that the chains are broken off of us, that we seek after you, to walk after you in that holiness and righteousness that you're seeking and desiring of each one of us. Now, Father, I pray your blessing and anointing on all that have been here and all that have already gone, that they'll never be the same. I pray your blessing over all that are here yet today and will travel and will travel tomorrow or even the next day after that. But I pray your anointing over them, and that the angel of the Lord will travel with them, and they'll have a safe return home. And that when they get there, they'll find that the angel of the Lord is taking care of all their belongings. For your word says that when we come to the house of the Lord, nothing shall by any means harm or cause destruction at our home while we're gone. So, Father, this week we've come up to the house of the Lord to praise and to worship you. We thank you for taking care of us and watching over us. And Father, I thank you for supplying the needs physically, financially, and all. And I pray health and strength to each one of us and long days, Lord, that we may live to glorify thy name and to declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Lord, we bless the food that Ron has prepared for us. Bless him and those that labor and help in the kitchen. Bless them. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.